Happy Sabbath to everyone. Welcome to the visitors, and we have a few here. Happy to have you with us. I always have a handout, you notice I always have a handout, and most times the handout looks the same. And it is. Before I start, I'll do what I call a little house cleaning, and I'll tell you why. I was at giving a sermon in another church, and before services started, in conversation with one of the gentlemen there, he said something that inspired me to do what I'm going to do right now. And what I'm going to do right now, because at the end of the services, he came to me and said, "Now I understand the pillars." So some of us may have understood the pillars all along, and some of us may not have understood the pillars. And reality is we'll all understand them in a different way. But I'll take a minute before I start to speak about that. Now, if I were to say to you, don't think of a pink elephant. Don't think of a pink elephant. What's going to happen? Immediately, you're seeing the pink ears, and you're seeing the pink tail, and you try not to think of this pink elephant, okay? So this shows that we think in pictures, okay? So if we think in pictures, many of us are a little more visual than others, but if we think in pictures, then it's good to have pictures, and that's why I give you a handout, because once you have a picture, you can fix it in your mind, and then you can attach things to the pictures, and it's a lot easier to remember a picture than to remember words. So let's talk about a bad night. Has anyone ever had a bad night? Well, I'm going to define a bad night. Okay, a bad night is, well, you got to go to work, and you have something important coming up that day, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you haven't slept a wink, and you're tossing and turning, and sleep won't come, and you're having a bad night. Well, what about a bad day? Have you ever had a bad day? Anyone? Well, I'm going to define a bad day. A bad day, again, you're busy, you have things to do, you have some appointments, like at the doctor's office, and it's 9:30, and your appointment was 8:30, and he hasn't seen you yet, and it doesn't look as if anytime soon he's going to be getting to you, and you're chomping at the bits. You're having a bad day, okay? Or you go to the post office, and you, in your mind, you're going to get in and out, and you're going to get to where you're going, and you get there, and the line's out the door. It's a bad day, okay? So, a bad day and a bad night. Now, here's a prescription. I'm a doctor. I can write prescriptions, okay? So I'm going to give you a prescription for a bad day or a bad night. But let's look at how David handled, let's say, first of all, a bad day. So turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we look at verse 146. "I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in your word." So David was having a bad night. He couldn't sleep. But what did he do? He meditated and hoped on God's word. So when we're having a bad night, all of a sudden now we have some pictures we could put in our minds, some things we can think about. And all of a sudden now, is it a bad night if God gives us an opportunity to meditate on his word? No, that's not a bad night. That's an opportunity. Okay, let's look at a bad day. David's experience of a bad day. Again, Psalms 119, let's look at verse 95. "The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies." Now, David is scared to death. Somebody is looking to destroy him, to take his life. He's having a bad day, okay? But he says, "I will meditate on your testimonies." So you get to the post office, the line is long, we can, you know what I mean, or we can say, this is an opportunity to meditate on his testimonies. But it's hard to meditate if there's nothing, no picture in your mind. So now you understand the columns. So all of a sudden now we can pick a column, and you've heard me say before, there are seven columns. They represent the pillars of wisdom, God's wisdom, the pillars of God's wisdom for us, the wisdom of Solomon. And if we have one to meditate on each day, if that day when we're having a bad day is a Wednesday, then our meditation that day is on faith whenever God gives us an opportunity. So what seems to be a bad day is God's opportunity for us to meditate on Him and meditate on faith. So today, since I mentioned faith, in our discussion, if we go down the columns, we've talked about faith before, but we will be talking about the aspect of faith that we learn from the wisdom of Solomon. So if I were to use the term the king of beasts, what picture would immediately come to your mind? The king of beasts. The lion, the king of beasts, right? Comes to mind immediately, the king of beasts. Now, God wants us to be like a lion. And we have a picture right here. So immediately, look at the picture, begin to picture that in your mind. You know, this is what God wants us to be like. He wants us to be like a lion. God also wants us to watch out for the lion. And we'll talk about that in a second. But what is there about the lion that's so fascinating? Jesus is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. We find that in Revelation 5:5. Turn with me, please, to Proverbs 30, and we'll read verses 29 and 30. But there be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion which is strongest among the beasts, and turneth away for any. So a lion is the strongest in the beast, yet he doesn't turn away from any. That means he is fearless. That means he is bold. That means he has courage. And so on. Other characteristics about a lion, at least the male, has a mane. A lion roars, and it's said that you can hear his roar 5 miles away. Now you try screaming at somebody and shouting 5 miles away, okay? Among the cats, the lion is the only sociable cat. So they have that quality of being social. In fact, they live in prides that can be up to 15 in number. And when they're relaxing and they get together, they're very friendly. They fellowship. They pay attention to each other. So those are characteristics of the lion. Now, let's look at the handout in terms of additional characteristics about the lion. You're going to see be obedient, look, discern. But if you look at the first letter of all those and go down, you notice that it spells bold, B-O-L-D, bold. So let's think of the lion in terms of B-O-L-D. B stands for be, B-E, be, to be. And Mr. Packer, who is the world's most famous lion expert, after 20 years of observing lions, came to the conclusion that the lion wasn't made to be in the savannah. The lion was made to dominate the savannah. Observant. Now, the vision of the lion is such, because they hunt at night, evening, it's dark, so they have to be observant. And so they are adapted for hunting and adapted to see where other things may not be able to see. They have to be observant. The look, that's how they feed. They have to look. They have to look for opportunity. they have to look for weakness, because that's what they do. They look at the herd and they see which one is lagging, which one's a little, and they know that that's going to be supper or breakfast or whatever it is. Okay, and then the lions are discerning. When the lion roars, the other lions can tell if it's a friendly roar. They can tell if it's a be careful roar. They can tell, since the roar carries for 5 miles, the lions in one pride can discern the roar of the lions in the other pride and determine, those guys are weak. We need to go beat them up. Okay. So the lions are discerning. Now, the question, what is the characteristic of the lion that God wants us to have? Because there's a characteristic of the lion he wants us to have. So turn with me, please, to Proverbs 28:1. And it says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." So of all the qualities that the lion have, and God wants us to have them, and as we will see as I go on, but the one that stands out that he specifically says in relation to the lion, he says the righteous are bold like the lion. The righteous are bold like the lion. So again, if you look at your handout, and here again, it's, you know, once you have a picture, it's easy to fix it in your mind, and then when you are having a bad night, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you can't sleep, you get the lion, and it's Wednesday, because Wednesday is their fate, boldness, fate. You picture the lion, and you say, what happened today in my life that I was able to exemplify the qualities of a lion? Or what happened where I did not, and how could I improve? And all of a sudden now, we have something to think about. We have something to meditate on, and it can't be a bad night when we're meditating on how to be bold like a lion, since that's what God wants us to be. So if you look at your handout, to be is who you are. Okay. When I was in high school, our motto was cogito ergo sum, I think, therefore I am. So the first thing we want to do is think, and that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to think. He said to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if our mind is not a thinking mind, then fix it. Be transformed, be renewed, and think. But what does he want us to think about? Again, we have the columns. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So how are we going to seek it if we don't think about it, as Joe pointed out? We have to be thinking about it, okay? And how are we going to think about it if he doesn't give us an opportunity at night, at 2 a.m., to think about it? During the day, we're busy. We don't have time. We're so preoccupied with all the things of life. So, yeah, when we're having a bad night, all of a sudden now we have a way of looking at it. It's an opportunity to think, because God wants us to be. And the only way we'll be is if we think. And now we have things to think about, because he told us, wisdom is the principal thing, get wisdom. Seek ye first, there's certain things he told us to do. And then he gives us opportunities to do those things. Okay, let's look at the handout again. And Observe. Now, in a few weeks, we'll be observing God's feasts, the festivals, the holy days, the fall seasons, holy days. But we observe them as they come due every year. And that is another thing that we need to be doing to be boldly following God's plan. Because if we look around us, not many are doing that. And we are unique in doing that, in following God's plan, and being bold and being observant in that way. Now, in also being observant, remember I said there's a lion that God wants us to avoid at all costs. we're told to be vigilant, be sober, because there's a lion, Satan, going about to devour us. So we have to be observant in terms of God's holy days, in terms of his laws and so on, and we have to be vigilant, observant, sober, in terms of looking out for danger. Now we go down on the handout at look. Look. Now we have to look, but what do we look for and who do we look at? Well, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Looking anywhere else or looking at anything else is not going to help us. So we need, that's where we get our boldness from, by looking to Jesus, learning from him, learning of him, and patterning our lives after him. And so that gives us a certain degree of boldness. It says in Hebrews 12:2, he's the author and finisher of our faith, and it's faith that's what gives us that boldness as well. And then discern. Discern means to be insightful. Insightful means to rethink the way we think. Be transformed, like I said, in Romans 12:2, by the renewing of our minds. Discern also implies, in fact, turn with me to Proverbs 1:5. Let's read that. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Okay, so that's how we discern, attain unto wise counsels. Let's turn to Proverbs 16, verse 21. Proverbs. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of his lips increaseth learning. So by wisdom we increase learning, and by wisdom we discern. So discerning puts us in harmony with God, and so we begin to develop the mind of Christ. And as we said before, by developing the mind of Christ, we have faith, and faith is what gives us that boldness. And every once in a while, God gives us an opportunity at the post office to meditate on these things. Now the question is why? Why does God want us to be bold? Why are the righteous bold? If you remember last week, Mr. Zimmerman introduced us to the concept of why, asking the question why. And last week he talked about why do we keep the feast. Today I want us to consider the following whys. Why do we need boldness? Why do we need to be bold? Why do we need to be? Why do we need to observe? Because remember, B-O-L-D, be, observe, okay? Why do we need to observe? Why do we need to look? Why do we need discernment? Well, we need these things because we have to overcome. But why do we have to overcome? Why do we want to overcome? Well, we want to overcome because God asks us to, first of all. But overcoming, there's things we have to overcome. Overcoming helps us build character. It helps us become perfect because we're asked to be perfect. It helps us to qualify for God's kingdom. Not only that, God has made a promise to us. Let's turn to Revelation 21:7 and read that. Revelation 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So, understand now why we need to overcome? Yeah. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and that's a promise that God made to us. So, that's why we need to be bold. Because we need to overcome, because God promises that if we overcome, we will inherit all things. But in order to inherit all things, what do we have to overcome? Well, we have to overcome sin. We have to overcome self. And we have to overcome this evil world. And to overcome these, we can't overcome them unless we're bold. Bold like a lion. In the time that remains, we'll see how that could work. First, and this is reassuring, we do not have to do it alone. But to get help, here again, we need to be bold. In fact, turn with me to Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. Okay, and I'm going to read that from the New Living Translation. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and will find grace to help us when we need it most. So we start off by having to be bold, and God asks us to come boldly to his throne of grace, because that's the only place we're going to find mercy, because without his mercy, we are not worthy, and we will find his grace, because without his grace, we are helpless. So come boldly. So before we start, we have to be bold. So we get that concept. We have to be bold. Turn again with me, please, to Ephesians 3, and let's read verse 12. Ephesians 3:12, and again, reading that from the New Living Translation. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly into God's presence. So there we see again, boldly. Now let's look at some Bible examples of boldness toward God, because to overcome sin, we have to be bold toward God. I won't turn to the scriptures, but we know the story. Abraham reasoned with God. That took some boldness. Jacob wrestled with God. Well, that took a whole lot more boldness too. Solomon made a bold request from God. And we are told we need to resist the devil and he will flee from us. And that takes boldness. We find that in James 4:7. And Christ's example, when Satan approached him, he boldly said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And we need to be saying that boldly. Because if we do, he will get behind us. And that is a part of what we need to do as we work on overcoming. Now we have to overcome self. And give you some biblical examples of self, people who overcame self. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He was growing in integrity. Joseph was bold in maintaining his integrity, and we know the story, his experiences in Egypt. David was bold in restoring his integrity. He had some problems, but he realized that he had problems, but he did something about them. He was bold, and he overcame self, and he restored his integrity. Now, to overcome, we also have to overcome this evil world. And we have the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. when they were confronted with the option of bowing down to the king, worshiping him, as they were strictly commanded not to do, there was no question. They said, we aren't careful to answer you on this. We're not going to bow down. That's it. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And if he doesn't, that's it too. So they were bold and stood up to their boss, to the king. Daniel was bold. He had a decision to make, or else he would be thrown into the lion's den. Lions, bold as a lion. Well, how he got into this trouble was his cohorts, his you know, the guys he worked with. Somehow they didn't like him, and so they set up a plan to get rid of him. And sometimes we are faced with that in one way or another, dealing with our cohorts, the people we work with. And so we have a biblical example of being bold. So we have to be bold as we work on overcoming this world and overcoming the influences around us as it relates to the people we work with or the people we interact with in our daily lives. Moses was bold. He chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy what was going on around him. And he had access to it all. It was his choice. He was the son of the king, at least the son of the king's daughter. But he overcame the society around him. He was bold, and he overcame. And so we, in that way, we have to overcome sin. We have to overcome self. And let's see how we can do that. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians 6, 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil days, and having done all, to come. You think we are living in evil days now? Anyone thinks maybe not? Okay. So, we are living in difficult times, and we have to withstand it. We have to overcome the world. We have to, and so, to do that, come boldly to the throne of grace, and he helps us by giving us the whole armor of God. And then every once in a while, he gives us a bad day at the post office to meditate on that. The line's long out the door. And so we have to stand and twiddle our thumbs, or we can stand, make a picture in our mind, and all of a sudden now it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And before you know it, the line's gone, and you're saying, man, they didn't give me time to meditate here. Okay. Then we have to overcome the world. And turn with me to 1 John 5:4. We'll see how we can do that. First John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But how do we get faith? We have to come boldly to the throne of grace. Makes sense? So we have to grasp the concept and accept the fact that we have to be bold. And to be bold, we have to be, we have to observe, we have to look, and we have to discern. There's a quotation that I'll share with you. It's one of my favorites, and I'll read it in its entirety, but when we get to the last line, that's what we normally call the punchline. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, that ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves in all sorts of ways. The moment we commit ourselves, and all of a sudden now things happen that we otherwise can't explain. providence, God, all sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issue from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance, which no man could have dreamed would have come his way. Whatever you can do, or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Now here are seven ways we can exemplify the characteristics of the lion. First of all, the lion is bold, and we read that in Proverbs 30, verse 30, he will turn for no man. He will turn for nothing. There's nothing, there's very, very little that makes a lion back down. It doesn't matter if whatever he's attacking is twice his size or three times, it doesn't matter. He is bold. In Hebrews 13, let's turn there and see how we can exemplify that boldness. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's another promise that God made to us. So that we may boldly say, here again, boldly, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. So all of a sudden now, does it matter? Does anything matter? We have no fear of what anyone can do to us. Bold like the lion. The lion exemplifies strength. And if you turn to me to Joshua 1:9, we'll see how we can exemplify that strength again. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you whithersoever you go. Be bold, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The other thing about a lion, if you look about it, there's a certain stateliness to the lion. There's a certain beauty to the lion. And the Bible talks about that for us if we exemplify the characteristics of a lion. Let's look at that in Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. So when we do what God wants us to do, there's a certain beauty, and he recognizes it, and he says, how beautiful are the feet of those that spread his word by speaking it, by example, the way we live, and by supporting God's work, they do it on a much wider scale than we can, and they reach who we can't reach in our individual lives. The lion also exemplifies confidence. And let's turn to Philippians 4:13 and see how we can exemplify that as well. Philippians 4. Philippians 4 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, how confident is that? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So I don't have to do it. but I have support. I have Christ, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. So that gives me confidence, and that is my confidence. And so I can exemplify in my life the confidence of a lion. Let's talk about courage, because the lion exemplifies courage. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy 1. Let's read verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So when we come boldly to Him, especially at 2 a.m., when we can't sleep and we're having a bad night, He gives us a spirit of power. So we have something to think about, something to meditate on. How can I exemplify that spirit of power in my life? How I missed it during the waking hours of the day, how can I do it better when tomorrow comes? And many times He gives us the opportunity to meditate on those things. Now, if you notice, at least the male lion has a mane, and that gives him that stately appearance. Now, the female lion doesn't have a mane, but people who have studied lions have come to the conclusion that the mane serves two purposes. One, they get into fights. They get into serious fights. Okay? And a lion, how he kills his prey is by suffocating. He goes for the neck. He goes for the jugular. Well, with that mane around him, the other lions can't get to his neck. They just can't. At least easily. Okay? So a mane serves for protection. Well, what they also found is that a mane, certain colored manes, are very attractive to female lions. So I can see, no, you're not getting a mane. Okay, so turn with me to Proverbs. Let's read Proverbs 3 and 4 and see how our mane, and I use that advisedly, okay, can be a value of us in protecting us and in attracting to us. Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Mercy and truth, bind them about thy neck. You bind mercy and truth about your neck, you have protection. Not only do you have protection, but, let's see, write them upon the tables of thy heart, verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. All of a sudden now, you're attracting God and man. So like the lion's mane, it gives him protection and it serves as an attraction. Mercy and fruit. Boldly ask God. Don't let them get away from you. Bind them around your neck. And so you will have protection, and so you will find good understanding in the sight of God and man. The lion roars. No, that wasn't a roar. Okay, and let's see how we can roar. Let's turn to Isaiah 58:1. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Roar. Help each other. Support each other. And help those around us as we get opportunity. That's how we roar. we learned that among the cats, the lion is the only sociable cat. What do we need to be doing? When the cats lie down to rest, they fellowship among each other. God asks us to be sociable, to spend time with each other, to fellowship with each other. That's how we grow. That's how we sharpen each other. That's how we support each other. So in doing that, we are being like the lion and exemplifying the characteristics of the lion. Now here's an interesting contrast. Boldness, meekness. In God's kingdom, the lion will lie down with the lamb. Well, lamb, how more meek can you get? A lion, how more bold can you be? God wants us to be bold. He also wants us to be meek. He says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We read that in Matthew 5:5. Moses was bold. He led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Not an easy feat. But Moses, in Numbers 12:3, we are told, was the meekest of men. Jesus was bold, and yet he was meek. So when we go to the feast and we hear about the lion lying down with the lamb, isn't there a lesson that God wants us to learn there in our own lives? That the boldness that he wants us to have and the meekness that he wants us to have can coexist in our lives. The lion lying down with the lamb, and we enjoying a little bit of that symbolism of God's kingdom in our lives. We must be bold, but God says we must be clothed in humility. As we approach the holy days and review the glory that God has in store for us, realizing that no matter how much we review, we cannot realize the magnitude of it. Let us be bold. Let us be like Christ. Let us think like Christ. Philippians 2:5, let us look at that. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we have the mind of Christ, then we will be. We will be like him. Just like how the lion was made to dominate the savannah, God, and not be a part of it, God calls us not to be a part of his kingdom, but to rule as kings with him. Observant. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because we have an adversary who is seeking to destroy us. Look and learn. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We read that in Hebrews 12:2. Learn, he says. In fact, let's read that. Let's turn to Matthew 11:29-30. Matthew 11, verses 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And finally, discern. Let's turn to 1 John 4 and read verse 1. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So we need to discern. We need to try the spirits. We need to be sure that we are listening to, that we are reading, that we are thinking of, that we are conversing, and that we are doing the things that relate to the Spirit of God. Because there are many false spirits out there. And as part of the characteristic of the lion, we need to discern. So now that we understand what boldness is, now that we understand why we have to be bold, now that we understand how to be bold, let us take a page from Paul, who boldly said in Philippians 3, 13 and 14, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus."